You then were approached by one of these companies to do some, was it exploration on your property?
In 2013, I went to the post office and there was this big envelope from Hillcorp. And they, inside the letter was a lease for my daughters and I. We share ownership of the property. It's a little over 3 acres. And they wanted to, as outlined in their in the lease, was virtually to take over the property. They wanted to explore. They wanted to produce if they found something producible. They wanted to use it to put a road in, to store equipment on, to drill from. And it was for a period of 1 year or longer, depending on what their exploration, the results of their exploration.
They offered you $10, was it?
Yeah.
$10?
$10 signing fee. And then there was a very long and complicated formula for what we would also receive if anything of value was found.
And you decided not to do this?
Yes, we decided not to do it. I did have an attorney look at the lease. I talked it over with my daughters. They read the lease. And that piece of land is just too important to us and our connections to Nanulchik, to our family, to the history that we have there, to share it.
And this was happening all over the area at that time.
It was, yeah. The arrival of that envelope came in 2013. And I had already seen and talked to people whose lives were being impacted by the spread of oil and gas on the southern Kenai Peninsula. It was suddenly such a reality, the intrusion, the possibility of it intruding into our lives to this extent, that that taken into consideration with what was happening around us sort of solidified the idea that there was a story here that needed to be told.
So suddenly this story that you had been covering, you became part of that story.
Yeah. Yes, in a very real way. And I say that with some embarrassment because it should have been enough to see what was happening to other people. That should have been motivation enough or eye-opening enough to realize the impact it was having personally on lives. But then when it was us, we were definitely part of the story.
This is part memoir about growing up in the area and all the things that you've seen, the changes that you've seen, but also part documenting this pivotal time in the history of the region.
The memoir part for me is to try to lay some groundwork or gain an understanding that for us, the value of that land, small that it may be, just a little over 3 acres, the value of it is not the dollar that it can be worth or the oil and gas that can be obtained from it, if there is any there. It has a deeper value to us. It's a part of our family and it goes back generations. That's our story. For others, and it seemed like everybody that was interviewed came to the whole issue of oil and gas from different perspectives. It just isn't about people who have been negatively impacted. There are interviews with people who have been positively impacted too, who have sold and have benefited that way, who have leased their property and benefited that way, who have had jobs, whose businesses depend on the income they get from the workers who live in the area. But certainly my point of view comes through. And that is not that my family has benefited from it, although we have. I worked in the oil and gas industry for 10 years. My daughters worked in the oil and gas industry. My son-in-law worked there. There are very few of us in Alaska who have not benefited in some way. But overall, and I guess when I interviewed Bob Shavelson with Cook Inlet Keeper, he was really the one that jumped it to the bigger picture. Not only is it having an impact on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, but you have to look at the impact of oil and gas globally as well, and the impact that's having on climate change, with the burning of fossil fuels being one of the leading causes in climate change. And then if you just look at no farther than our state budget and our overdependence on oil and gas, so that we really have put all our eggs in one basket, and now with declining oil and gas prices, we find ourselves in a $4 billion pinch. No small pinch.
You approach this very much from a journalistic perspective, but it also sounds like, in a way, it is a call to arms.
Yes, I would agree on both. on both that. It is a call to arms, and we, you know, we don't have to look very far around us to see the impacts of climate change. Certainly, the change in weather we had allowed the spruce bark beetle to survive, which didn't before, and destroyed millions of spruce trees on the Kenai Peninsula, not just here locally. There's very few days that go by in terms of news that there's not another story of a village that's being impacted, or hunting that's being impacted, or thin ice that's making a difference to animals. It really is a call to arms, and asking for us to engage in the conversation, not to ignore it, but to engage in it and hopefully do something about it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.